Hello. Thanks for joining us for this Sunday morning's teaching at Dayspring Fellowship. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Good morning. So glad to see y'all. This really is a family. When I look around, I see family. It is so precious that we have those relationships. And when we were worshiping, I feel like the Lord said to me, invite your friends. You know, this is such a good, like our worship, you know, brings a presence in the Lord. And sometimes I hesitate to invite people, but I feel like he was correcting me, saying, share this with other people, people who need the Lord, people who just need some encouragement, who need some hope. And so I want to encourage you guys to do that also. Who do you know who's in your circle of friends or your community who may be walking around, who's missing their hope, who, you know, who feel quite hopeless? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is our hope. So let's start by asking the Lord to bless our time. Lord, I thank you that your presence is here this morning. I thank you that your love for us runs deep and that your presence is one way that we know that you're here with us, that we can actually feel you. And so, God, thank you for reminding us that you're so close, that you're never far away. Thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for all the promises of your word and that we can always go back to your word to read your promises and stand on that truth. God, I ask you now just to bless our time together and that your Holy Spirit would teach us and then just help your word to come alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, restoration of our hope. By the way, I just opened that bottle of water and I went to take a sip and somehow I think my fingers just sort of squeezed it. And so a big gush of water just went running all the way down my shirt. It's not inappropriate, so I'm okay with that. But I just want you to know that I am wet. And and this is, it's not a distraction. I'm going to call it funny. What'd you say, Janelle? It's not sweat. Yeah, I'm not sweating. I promise. Yeah. So let's talk about hope this morning. I really feel like the Lord has been teaching me about hope. And it's something that I never really thought a lot about until I encountered a situation where my hope went missing. I began to realize that my hope had faded. And it was a struggle. So I began to study about hope because I had been crying out to the Lord to restore my hope, and he has, I'm thankful to report, but there was a process involved, and I wanted to share a bit about what I've learned in that. So what is hope? It's that feeling of expectation that something good is coming, something new is going to come, and we wake up in the morning and it's that pep in our step. It's what gets us out of bed. It's what helps us to walk through our days, even sometimes when they're hard. And it's the expectation of something good to come. So I'm guessing that I'm not the only one who's had a period in their life where your hope was a little on the low side. Well, let's take a look at Scripture, because Scripture does have a lot to say about hope, about where we can find it and get restored. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians, and in his letter, he's greeting them, and he says some pretty profound things, even in his very first words. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, their work was produced by faith, their labor was prompted by love, that was their motivation, and their endurance was inspired by what? The hope they had in Jesus Christ. So, even in the greeting, Paul is pointing out that the reason why they're doing what they're doing is because they have hope, and their hope is in Jesus Christ. So if you're missing your hope, that's where you find it, is in Jesus Christ. So that's good. That's the short answer, and that would be right. But there's so much more there. Hope helps us to endure the hard parts of life, the suffering, the challenges. What can cause our hope to fade? Well, there are many things, and I think some of you might identify with these. A struggle with your job. Dreams not coming true. Struggles with your health, or maybe in a relationship. Loss of a beloved leader. Loss of a loved one. A friend who moves away. Or things just aren't turning out the way you planned. Even our political environment, when you look around in our nation right now, can cause your hope to stumble. True? I don't know who I'm, well, I won't say that. I won't go there. But, if I looked with my eyes, logically thinking, we are really living in some challenging times. So, we have choices. And sometimes we sink into sadness. We even experience grief and sometimes despair. And we feel like giving up when our hope fades. And I experienced a lot of that. Now, there, of course, is a healthy process called grief. We all know about that. There are 5 stages I've learned. I've been watching for those to see which ones I can check off that I've gone through. So far, I think I'm passing through all of them with flying colors. None of them fun. The anger stage was particularly hard. But it's real. Grief is a healthy process, and we've all encountered that in some way or another. But how do we walk in hope? Because that's what we're talking about, which comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of the negativity, sadness, and despair. First, everybody needs to know this, that God wants to overthrow every negative thought in you. He wants to renew your mind. So when we go to a place where we're sad and we're grieving, although there is a healthy process, at the point where your hope begins to fade, where you don't want to get up in the morning, where you have nothing to look forward to, that is the point where we need to stop and recognize that our hope is not in our circumstances, but our hope is in Jesus Christ. God wants to overthrow every negative thought in you. Let's look at Philippians 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Another greeting from Paul. He's just amazing. His letters are great, aren't they? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Begin confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So what that tells me is that in my life and in Sheila's life and in Anna's life and in Chris's life, that good work is happening right now in you. Every person in here is going through some process, and God is doing a good work in you. That's good to be reminded of, isn't it? Because we get down, we get really, sometimes our circumstances really stink. But God is doing something good in you right now. I want you to think about your life right now. So, Steve and I are doing this little couples Bible study. It's really great. We've really, it's heavy duty. Read 2 chapters of scripture a day, memorizing verses. I mean, it's taking us back to our roots that start with a B. And we've been really challenged. And one of the challenges our leader said, because we were memorizing a scripture about arguing and complaining, do everything without arguing or complaining. We were challenged to go 24 hours without arguing or complaining. So I want you guys to try that. Sometime this week, try to go 24 hours without arguing or complaining. And so it was really hard. I really became aware of some attitudes. I have not attitudes, but maybe some behaviors. Attitudes, behaviors, probably the same, that I didn't know I had. And it was because we were challenged to try this. As a matter of fact, Steve and I, we sort of held each other accountable, and it became pretty funny because in a conversation, you know, we would be talking, normal couple talk, and then one of us would launch into some complaint, and then we'd look at each other and say, whoop, got to start over again. And that happened quite frequently. And what it was, I mean, what it did for us was it helped us to grow in our awareness of what we are communicating day in and day out. It was really, really good. So I challenge you to try to do that, 24 hours without arguing or complaining, and see if you can do it. And I think you may learn something about yourself. I know. Yeah, I know. It's funny. It really is funny. But it was enlightening, too, at the same time. It was really, really good. So good work's happening in us. He's doing something good right now in us. Good work is happening. So Romans 12:2 tells us what the good work is. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So one of the great things that God is doing in each of us right now is he's renewing our minds. I feel like most of us know that, but sometimes it's good to be reminded. He is doing a good work, and one of the great things he's doing is he's renewing our minds. It's really good. Now, what's our part in that? God is renewing our minds. He's doing the hard part. What is our role? Let's look at Romans 12:1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," "therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship." So the renewal of the mind comes when we submit ourselves to God. So submitting ourselves to God, placing ourselves on the altar, submitting ourselves, holy and pleasing sacrifice to God, is our part. That's the part that we play. We submit ourselves to God. We live lives that are submitted to God. What does that look like? How do you live a life that's submitted to God? We get to choose, by the way. We don't have to live lives submitted to God. And it's a moment-by-moment thing. It's as easy as talking about complaining and arguing and choosing not to do those things. It's choosing to think about things that are pure and lovely and right, versus thinking of things that are not. So we get to choose whether or not we live submitted lives to God. So what happens is when I submit, God transforms. It's pretty simple. I'm a math person, so I really like formulas. However, I can't say it's a simple process, but I submit and God transforms. It's really a great deal because God, he does the hard part for sure. But then what happens? As he's renewing our minds, what's happening? He turns things upside down. It's really cool. As God renews our mind, he starts turning things upside down. So instead of going through difficult things, such as suffering and feeling defeated and losing our hope, suffering then turns into growth. It's really awesome. We start to grow and learn through our suffering. Loss becomes an opportunity to see new life and to see it spring forth. Funny, isn't it? Change becomes one of God's greatest gifts and one of his most useful tools. If you're struggling with your job right now and you're afraid you're going to have to make a change, you might not see it as an opportunity and as one of God's greatest gifts and one of his most useful tools. Are you with me? In other words, in our minds, in our logical state of how the world thinks, we don't often see opportunities in suffering or in change. But it really is. I mean, it's like turning your thought processes upside down. Like when you go through a hardship, don't ask why, God. Ask what. God, what are you doing in me, through me? What are you teaching me? What do you have for me next? And it's a great thing to be submitted to God and not to be submitted to your circumstances that bring lots of despair and a loss of hope. So I remember in our lives, we faced a huge change. Over 20 years ago, we had two children. They were little. We lived in Long Point, right around the corner, and we had moved here. Steve had moved with a company that, in the profession of his choice that he's gifted in, and it was a wonderful job, but then the company was bought by a large national company, and so he had a new boss who was in off somewhere, Texas or somewhere, and with new ideas about how to run a company. And they chose Steve to be in leadership, which was great. We thought it was a good opportunity until they started asking Steve to do things that really clashed with his ethics and his integrity. And it was one of the hardest periods of our life because we didn't know what to do. That job was I wasn't working. Steve had, you know, he was responsible for our household income, and he had two little children and a new house we had just built. It was kind of scary. But I remember what we did. I remember very clearly that we went to God and said, God, we don't know what you have next for us, but we are coming to you saying we are open to whatever you might bring. Even if it's a job that pays less money, we will make adjustments and we will be fine, but we just want whatever you have for us. Steve was so unhappy. He's a very loyal person, by the way. He is very loyal. But he was so unhappy. One morning, he was walking down the stairs at our home. I was standing at the bottom of the stairs. He was about to leave for work, and he said to me, Shelley, I just wished I had fallen and broken my leg because I'm so unhappy with what I'm doing right now. And this is a man who loves to work and loves his profession. It was a real moment. We knew we had to make a change. As scary as it was, we just said, Lord, you're just going to have to take over. We just don't know what, you know, what to do. We just need your help. You know, we really just submitted ourselves to him. And then he gave us the idea of starting a new business. It's like, what? Can we do that? We're young. We're in our early 30s. We have two young children. That's risky. God called us to do it. We started it. We ate macaroni and cheese for 3 months. But you know, within 3 months, Steve had a full caseload and was working full time, and we were getting checks in the mail. The Lord was so faithful to us. We never hurt. And now having that business for over 22 years, God has done so much through it, and it's been a blessing. Steve would have never left the company that he was with because he is so entirely loyal. And I think that God had to put us in a position where we really had no other choice before we would launch out. So that was our story with going through change. And it was a big one. So I've got some truths here about change that I really would like to read because I think they're mind-challenging, and that's what we're doing. We're going through renewal of the mind. Change can push us, pull us, rebuke us, and remake us. It can show us who we've become in some of the best ways and in some of the worst. It is not something to run away from. I want to say that again. It is not something to run away from. Change is not a product of life's cruelty, but instead a function of God's graciousness. Change is good in the way that childbirth is good. Heartbreak is good, and failure is good. It can be incredibly painful, but even more so if you fight it. Let me say that again. Change can be even more painful if you fight it. Change also has the potential to open you up, to open life up, to deliver you right into the palm of God's hand, which is where you wanted to be all along, but were too busy pushing and pulling your life into exactly what you thought it should be. So what's your story? Maybe you're frustrated because of the political scene. Maybe you're struggling because of changes in your life that you can't control. It happens to all of us. Maybe you're discouraged because of things that you see in the church, universal, and you'd rather just sit it out. maybe life just isn't turning out the way you thought it would. But remember, every negative is a positive in disguise. So how do we get our hope back? The answer is easy. We look toward heaven. Where does our help come from? Renew our minds, Lord. Renew our minds to be focused on you, on heaven. Graham Cook, who's a great teacher, he said, "There's no frustration in heaven. Therefore, it cannot be allowed to exist in your circumstances. In Christ, there is always another possibility." In Christ, there is always another possibility. A renewed mind empowers you to think outside of the box of your own understanding. A renewed mind empowers you to think outside the box of your own reasoning. So we ask the Lord, renew our minds, God. Help us to think of things upside down. Transform our minds. I don't want to walk around with an attitude of arguing, complaining because of my circumstances. You know, that's our MO, really. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. I mean, seriously, do the 24-hour thing and you'll find out. Like, I mean, we're in a culture that does this. It's just good to be aware of it. So we ask the Lord, renew our mind. Lord, renew my mind. We stop looking horizontally. Fox News, your financial statements, your job situations, your relationships even. That's not where your hope comes from. It comes from heaven. Fix your eyes on heaven. And I want to mention, if I've touched on something that you're going through right now, I just want to encourage you because, and this is, well, I'm going to say it. If you're not willing to let go of something in your life, sometimes it may have become an idol. You with me? That's hard. Changing Steve's job, that was very hard because that was like our security, we thought. There are a lot of things in our lives that we try to hold on to and we find hope in. And honestly, we want to find hope in things that we can touch, that we can feel, that we can count on. You know, even our bank accounts become something we find hope in. Our security, you know, no, that's not where it lies. So we're going to read Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And I have fallen in love with this scripture. The scripture, you know, like I think I memorized it 20 years ago back in my B days. But honestly, I read it in the Message. And like I'm just seeing something totally new that is incredible. And I love it. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Y'all know this scripture, by the way. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. What does that mean? What God always wanted to do with us, make us right with him, make us fit with him. I love the word lockstep. There's a song, I can't remember who wrote it, but they use the word lockstep. Do y'all know what that means? Like in dancing. Lockstep means you're totally in unison with your partner. Totally, completely. Like you're like a mirror image of one another. God has created us and set us right with him. He's made us fit for him. We are lockstep with him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. That tells me that it's not what I do. It's not a function of what I do. It's who I am, okay? Because of what Jesus did, because of our Master Jesus, we have it all together with God. I like this version. It's not what I do. It's who I am, who I am. So the next verse says, we throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. That's so rich. I love that. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. How rich is that? I choose to submit to God. I throw open my doors, and then I find that God has already thrown open his doors to me. How amazing is that truth? How amazing is that truth? I love it. I mean, it is so rich. And there he is out in, we find ourselves standing where he always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. And then the next verse says, there's more to come. What? How good is it already that I've opened my doors and find that God's opened his doors, but there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience. The word in the NIV is perseverance, passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, which is character and hope. So let's go through that again. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. How cool is that? Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, I want to be that person. I want to be the person who walks around saying, I don't have enough containers to hold what God wants to pour into me. Suffering brings that. Troubles brings this. Loss brings this. Not having enough containers to hold what the Holy Spirit wants to pour into me. I want that. I desperately want to be that person. And part of that is him renewing my mind. So I have a story about God renewing my mind. And so it's my story of hope. And it spans the course of about 2.5 years. But I'll only focus on one thing. And most of y'all know about this. So the last 2.5 years have been kind of rough for me personally. You know, for us as a family, it's been wonderful. You know, we've had a marriage in the last 3 years. We've got another marriage coming up. We've got our youngest son graduating. To my eyes, logically speaking, a lot of good stuff's happening to the Juhases. But for me personally, there have been struggles. And my hope had really faded. And it was a serious crisis in my life. It really was. So the last 2.5 years, the hardships I'm talking about really culminated in the loss of my dad last month. And there, you know, I mentioned there have been other struggles, but certainly this was a big one. My dad was a great man of integrity. He was probably my biggest cheerleader before I got married to Steve. When we got married, my dad said, very kindly to Steve, he said, Steve, no refunds, no exchanges. It was one of the greatest gifts my dad could ever do. He was giving me away. You get that? When we get married, we leave and we cleave to our partner. My dad, as close as we were, he was letting go of me. What a great gift. It was funny, and I can tell it now and laugh, but I realize now the wisdom in that. So anyway, he was just a great guy, no doubt about it. So always had health struggles. I mean, daddy was diabetic for a long, long time. My mom was a nurse. It was a match made in heaven. She took great care of him. She really did. But a little more than a year ago, last February, I had a dream, and I started to talk about it. Lathan was in it. I think I discussed it with Lathan because he enjoys dreams. Surround yourself with people who know you can hear from the Lord, by the way. If you don't have any friends, if you're not in community with people who can't hear from the Lord or who don't know that you can, who can help you do things like take dreams and turn it into a word from the Lord, like find some people like that. That's so important. But anyway, in this dream, it wasn't frightening, but the Lord was just preparing me, saying, this is coming. Okay? I wasn't afraid when I came out of that dream. I just knew, this is coming. He was preparing me. So over the last year or so, Dad's health did begin to fade. So we live about 2 hours away. So submitted to God, I listened for the Holy Spirit's leading to know when to go, when to speak, and when to be quiet. As you all know, in family situations, there are always complications. You know, there are always difficulties. It's hard to know how much you should do and how much you shouldn't do. It's hard to know what to say, when to say it, and when to be quiet. And so I really enjoyed this time with the Lord. He led me so beautifully. And I look back and I'm just so thankful. So when he told me to go, I would go. And when I stayed, you know, I would stay home and take care of my family, do my job, that kind of thing. You know, his help continued to fade. And there were times when I would visit there and I would get a word from the Lord, you know, just kind of like, this is the beginning of the end, that kind of thing. So he did very sweetly begin to show me signs that this was coming. But then I kind of had a real shift in how I looked at it. It was no longer just hearing from the Lord and doing things. It became grief. And so back in January, February, unbeknownst to me, I started the grieving process. And so about one day a week, I would encounter some situation, memories, or something like that. And I would just be overwhelmed with grief. And I'm not a person who cries easily. I do cry. But I grew up thinking crying was not right, or you're supposed to push those emotions down and just deal with it. So, you know, one day a week is a lot for me to be having sob sessions and being sad. And then it would take about a day to recover. You know, I would just walk around saying, man, that was hard. It went on for like 4 or 5 months. And then the Lord spoke again. It was really good. And it came in the form of a dream once again. And this time, I can't explain why, but I woke up feeling totally different. God had given me a picture in that dream. Again, I discussed it with a couple of friends just to check out if I had missed anything in the interpretation. And what God told me was, you're going through a healthy process and I'm with you. And things are going to be okay because I'm with you. How sweet is that? I swing my doors wide open and guess what? His doors are already open. He's standing there waiting to speak to us. He wants to communicate with us about our hardship, our suffering, whatever it is we're going through, our life circumstances that are really hard. He's there every moment. I even had one of those crying sessions at Dayspring one morning. I walked in, sweet Patrick Phillips. He greets me and he says, how are you, Miss Shelley? He said, how's your dad? And then I started to share with him how my dad was, because I think it's okay to be real. Part of that sharing with Patrick was a sob session in Patrick's arms. Y'all, how precious is that, that we're surrounded in a community that we can be honest and that we can comfort one another? We need one another when we're going through times like this, true? We really, really do. And I was able to tell Patrick how much it meant that he was there to hug me and to encourage me. It was precious. It was a sweet time. So, sweet Patrick, I mean, you probably didn't know what to do with me. But I'm telling you, he was completely awesome. That's exactly what I needed at that moment. It was just beautiful. So anyway, I had this dream, and I woke up, and I knew something had shifted in my spirit. You with me? I woke up with my hope, and it was back. I woke up with that picture, the Lord reminding me, this is a healthy process you're going through. I'm with you in it. It's going to be okay. It was so great. So now when I start to feel sad, guess what I do? I think about that picture the Lord gave me. I remember that picture. And it was just to let you know, it was a picture of a vegetable garden in my parents' front yard with the most beautiful vegetables ever. The tall corn, the beautiful tomatoes, every row perfectly straight, no weeds. I mean, it was a picture of, this is healthy, this is good, and it's great. I mean, it was just beautiful. That picture means a lot to me. It's where I go. It came from heaven. Do you understand that picture came from heaven? It was so good. So God wants to give you pictures like that too when you're walking through tough circumstances. He wants to communicate with you. So the grief had lifted, and it was perfect timing because it was about a week away from when my dad actually died. So it was good when my mom called and he had taken another turn for not the good. I said, Mom, it's okay because I've been crying for 4 months, and I'm ready to come to you now and be strong for you. I mean, God had equipped me to be Jesus in a hard situation in my family. It was so great. It was so good that Steve and I were actually in the hospital room when he passed away. Now, how do you do that? I live 2 hours away. Steve goes occasionally. I go weekly. But honestly, I mean, he had been in the hospital for 2.5 weeks at that point. But we happened to be there the very moment that he took his last breath. Y'all, it was so incredibly beautiful. And this is what happened. It would caught us by surprise. I was on my computer working. I was releasing payroll so that our employees could be paid. You hear me? I mean, it's in the flash of a moment, God can come. And so my mom recognized something was, you know, changed in his breathing. She stood up. I put my iPad down. We paid attention, and then it happened. And the first thing that came to me, it wasn't grief, because, remember, God had prepared me. I began praying, a prayer of thanksgiving. I began praising God for the incredible man that my dad was. It lasted about 5 minutes. And then I turned to my mom and started praying over her and thanking God for her. It was simply incredible. And you know what? The Lord had already swung his doors wide open, because when I looked at my dad, guess what? I heard, he's not there anymore. It was one of the most beautiful moments that I've ever experienced with the Lord. It was so great. I had no regrets about my time with him, time with my mom. It was incredibly great. And the Lord, in his gentleness and kindness, had carried me through that process. I was even able to be with him in his last week of life, in the hospital, not able to eat on his own. And he kept glancing upward like this. It's like if you're looking at someone and they just start looking up. I'd say, Daddy, what do you see? What are you looking at? And he was describing heaven to me. He said, I see a big house on a hill. I said, Daddy, I said, do you see people? He said, yeah, lots of people. And the conversation went on from there. Y'all, was that a moment that was orchestrated by the Lord? Yes, and amen. Absolutely. It was so incredible. It was so awesome. I mean, it's only by God's strength I can tell you that I'm standing here telling you this story. But I want you to know he renews our mind. He allows us to realize that our hope is in him, and that in the hardest circumstances you can think of, he wants to prepare you and he wants to equip you. So now moving forward, I feel stronger. I feel bolder. I'm more confident, and I'll tell you, I don't have a lot of fear. I'm not very afraid of many things. I'm trying to think. You know, one thing that flashes into my mind, Steve will relate to this, when our kids are traveling, we'll think, be careful, I-95 is busy this time of day. And now we're turning those thoughts straight into prayers up to heaven. Lord, protect Meredith on I-95 on Friday afternoon, going through Savannah where we often see accidents. Are you with me? It's a heavenly mindset. Turn your fears and your anxiety and your worries into heavenly thoughts and see what God does. So 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 18. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I love that. What's your current struggle? What are you going through? Job's not going well? Something you dreamed when you were younger hasn't come about yet? Whatever it is, we have hope, and we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. The veil is gone because he's renewing our minds. Isn't that awesome? The veil is gone. We're not like the Israelites. The veil is gone. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? We are being transformed. God is doing a good work in you. Everything you're encountering right now, any suffering, any disappointments, anything like that, God is doing a good work in you. And we just fling open our doors, and guess what we find? God has already flung his doors open too. And he's right there to greet you and to say, come with me. I am gentle. I love that. I love that he's gentle. He's gentle and humble in heart. So we are bold. We walk without fear. We are people of hope. So Lord, I thank you that we are people of hope. I thank you, God, that you are with us through all circumstances. In the joyful moments, you're there, but also in the suffering, you are there too. And so, God, I pray that we would be ready to fling open our doors. And I thank you that you've promised that we'll find you, your doors already open wide. God, if anyone in here is struggling to have hope, God, I pray that you would restore it in Jesus' name. I pray that you would deliver them from any circumstances that are causing their hope to fade. And God, if you desire for them to stay in a situation because you are bringing about good through that suffering, God, I pray you'd give them wisdom to keep them there. Lord, we just thank you for being in our lives and for being that person who renews our mind, and that all we have to do is submit to you. God, please restore our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.